and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the book of Ephesians, we've been looking at verse 19. Just before we get into that, you know, we're going to speak just a few moments about singing. And in Psalm chapter 5 and verse 11, the Bible says, but let all those that put their trust in thee, that's in God, let all those who put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for what? Joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. We're to have joy in this life as saved people. We're not to go around with our hands hanging down and wear sackcloth and ashes, but we're to have joy in our hearts and in our lives, and let people know about that. Also in Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know, when I start feeling a little down, you say, well, you mean you get down? Well, I'm a human being, and I believe that each one of us have times in our lives when the old devil just fights us, or something comes into our life that just sort of knocks us down a little bit. But then, you know, when I get in the Word of God and when I realize what God has for me, and this verse says, thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I'm going to be at his, well, I'll not be seated at his right hand, but I'll be right there with him, and I'll know him. But you know, I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to have that joy, because I can be in his presence all the time. All I need to do is say, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready to serve you. And Lord, there's times in my life, Lord, that I need you more. And you know, when we have a problem, that's the time we really need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you right now. And the joy of the Lord will fill our hearts. And not only that, when we get in trouble and we start feeling down, will the joy of the Lord lift us up? But when we're happy, we need to stay happy and realize that in his presence is the fullness of joy. Stay in the presence of the Lord. Get into his word. Notice in Psalm 21 and verse 1, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord. If the king can have joy in the Lord and have joy in his strength and the Lord's strength, so can I. And it goes on to say, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Well, the king rejoices in salvation, and so do I. Let me read a couple more of these. Psalm 27, verse 6, it says, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. How long has it been since you sung praises to the Lord? How long has it been since you made merry in your heart? How long has it been since you really told the Lord how much you love him and how happy you are and what joy you have in serving Jesus Christ? How long has that been? Let me invite you to do that right now and tell him that you love him, that in his presence you find joy. And there's nothing can take that joy from you. The only way it can be taken from you is if you let it be taken from you. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation, but that means that you are getting away from the Lord, and you need to go to him in prayer and talk with him and let him know that you're looking to him for the joy that passes all understanding, just as the peace he promises that passes all understanding. He gives both. He gives peace and he gives joy. Well, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, and we've looked at preceding words in this verse. This is what I want you to see right now. It continues by saying, singing. And that psalm I just read talks about singing. You see, the prevailing character of music in the worship of God should be vocal. Sometimes we get into this habit of letting the instruments do all the worshiping. And of course, we know instruments cannot worship. And therefore, we need to let our voices be heard. That's worshiping. We're the ones who can worship, not an instrument. But you see, when instruments are used, they should be so subordinate that the service may be characterized as singing. And I'm talking about a church service where the people join their hearts together because of the joy of the Lord. And we're to sing out. When we sing, it is to be for the glory of God, not for me, not for you, not for anyone else, but for the glory of God. Notice that verse in verse 19 of Ephesians 5 goes on to say, and making melody in your heart. Well, I believe the idea here is that of singing in the heart or praising God from the heart. The psalms and the hymns and songs were to be sung so that the heart should be engaged and not so as to be mere music, making mere music or a mere external performance doing that, and I've seen people do that. It's not simply to sing to be seen and heard of man, but to sing praises to God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Notice what he says. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. In other words, know what you're singing. Sing the songs. The next time you go to worship, in your church, the next time you go to join your heart with other believers, look at the words, listen to the words, let the words lift you up, and understand the words that God has given a songwriter to write down, the words that bring honor and glory to Him. Sing with the heart. Notice it says making melody in your heart. What? To the Lord. And this would be, I believe, in praise of the Lord, or in other words, addressed to Him. Singing here means a direct and solemn act of worship, and it should be considered really as prayer. In singing, we should regard ourselves as speaking directly to God, and so the words should be spoken with earnestness and respect for our Lord. And you see, if this is the true nature and purpose of public musical arrangement of the Psalms, then it stands to reason that all should regard it, everybody should regard it as an act of solemn worship in which they should engage. And they should be taking part in this. Well, at least in the heart. If you can't sing, if you can't carry a tune or whatever, sing anyway. But sing in the heart. You know, I find myself many times that I won't be singing audibly or doing anything audibly with my voice, but I have a song in my heart. I remember the old hymns, and the Lord brings words back to my memory, and I'm singing in my heart. And possibly if I'd be singing out loud, it would drive people away. But don't worry about that when you get into congregation. Sing anyway. Sing to the glory of God. Let God receive all the glory. He's the one who's going to hear it. You need to get that in your mind and in your heart that you're not singing to man. Don't be ashamed to sing out for the Lord. Ephesians 5:19 again says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Let Him guide your mouth, your heart, whatever you're going to sing with. Let Him, and I would say especially with your heart, let Him guide it. Let Him guide your heart as you sing to Him. We look at verse 20 of Ephesians 5, and it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the words, giving thanks always. Well, this is probably designed to be connected with the preceding verse that we just left in verse 19. And it possibly means that the proper subject is of psalms and hymns, and that is of thanksgiving and praise. This should always be the main intention of of singing to the Lord, and it should always be considered that way, and this part of worship should always be conducted to keep up in the heart, to keep it alive with a sense of the mercy and goodness of God, giving thanks always. For what? The verse goes on to say, for all things. And I believe that it means even this, even for all persons. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for what? For all men. I mean, and I see this, that it would, of course, as it's written in God's Word, be the duty of all saved people, not just a few, not just for the pastor, not just for the evangelist, not for the Sunday school teacher, but for every person, that for all things, giving thanks always for all things. This is for everybody to do. And the sense, according to this verse, would be that we are to praise God for His general mercy to mankind, not just for ourselves. We should do that for all the happiness which humans are permitted to enjoy. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have this joy. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have the things that we look to for enjoyment. Thank you, Lord, and we need to thank Him for the love of God to mankind in creation, in long-suffering, and especially in redemption. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Be willing to realize and be willing to admit that you can't go to heaven on your own, that you can't do it your way, that you're not going to do it your way any longer, but you're going to depend upon the Lord to save you, that you're going to say, Lord, come into my heart. I need you. Please save me so that one day I'll see you in heaven. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then after we get saved, we, just as a grateful child, will give thanks for all the kindness shown to his himself, that God has shown kindness to him. We need to be showing that to other individuals. And we see that as we give thanks for all things, always for all things, there's one obvious outcome for giving thanks always for all things, and it would be to overcome selfishness and to make us rejoice in the happiness of others as well as in our own. We are by nature selfish people, but when we get saved, we're to be happy for everybody else. Well, when you're unsaved, you're to be happy for other people. But God puts it within a saved person, especially the ability of the, we may even call it a gift, that we can actually be happy for other individuals if what's coming into their lives is good. Well, we see another reason that we're to give thanks always for all things. It would be to overcome, once again, selfishness. And another would be to lift high our conceptions of the goodness of God, to direct our mind to all the things He has bestowed on us personally, as well as all other people. Be thankful for other people getting goodness. You see, man has much for which to be grateful. And the duty of acknowledging the mercy of God to the others should not be forgotten. We are often prone to magnify any calamity we might have had and to contemplate the woes of others so that we overlook the occasions for gratitude to the Lord. You see, we should look upon the mercies which we enjoy as well as the miseries which we endure, that our hearts may be in right relationship with our Lord. You see, he who looks only on his trials will soon find his mind soured and complaining, bitterness. And he who endeavors to find how many occasions for gratitude he has, he's going to soon find that the burden of his sorrows will be gone.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.